Good morning, Open Arms again. Great to be here. I got a surprising text from Elizabeth last night. Wherever they were passing by, she got a signal for about 10 seconds, and she let off a text. So she said, oh, they're all doing well. And she, one of the things she had, and she said, I'm so proud of our young people who are leading people to Christ, loving the kids, loving the people in the villages that are having a great, great time. So all well, all healthy, all fit, and we will see them next Saturday. And hopefully I won't fade away by the time Elizabeth comes back. I might just manage. So we're continuing our series of heroes, and let me read our main scripture for this. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So the premise is that we're surrounded by these saints of old, and they can pull a lot of wisdom, a lot of what nots, and a lot of what to do into our lives. And one of them steps down, and the person who steps down this morning is called Mary. And the question is, what would Mary say to us? What wisdom would she want to pass on to us? And I believe that she would say this: when God asks you to do something outside your comfort zone, don't miss your moment with God. Do not miss your moment with God. I love, as we gather, love having a cup of tea, having the crack, having the chat. But the reason we gather is for us to encounter God. That is the purpose. We love the fellowship, but we're not a golf club. We're not a society. We call ourselves followers of Christ. We are Christians who love Jesus. And everything we do is set in motion that you can have your God moment. And I believe, perhaps in the time you come in, maybe someone in the car park, at the door, the cafe, during the worship, or something that I might say this morning, God is going to speak a word into your heart. I want you to grab that. I want you to grab and have a God moment this morning. But God speaks to us many words, many, many. He's constantly speaking to us. And our job is to often stop and listen. Last week we talked about he speaks through people, through preaching, through the prophetic, through worship, through a movie. I often get stuff through movies. I love watching movies, and God usually drops something into my heart through it. So there's a variety of ways. But this is what we know from his word. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you. So I want you to stop for a moment. If you've been a Christian more than a year, you probably know this. And one thing I've learned is that familiarity can breed contempt. Oftentimes when I'm here and say, yeah, you know, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans prosper you, and we forget that this is the living, active, breathing word of God from our Father who loves us, who's crazy about us. And this is what he says, for I know, I, the God of heaven and earth, I, the one who knitted you together in your mother's womb, I, who came and sent my only son to die on the cross for you. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And we also know that before eternity began, before you were a twinkle in your Father's eye, as we would say, that he had good works for you to do. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Mary is perhaps the most misunderstood lady person in the entire Bible. She really is. Oftentimes you come across people and they want to worship Mary. And then we can come along and have the other side who want to totally ignore Mary because they're fearful of even getting engaged in the whole theology. Some see her as a woman of faith to point her to our Savior, Jesus. Others see her as a distraction from our Savior, Jesus. But the one thing we do know is that Mary had an encounter with the living God. She had an encounter. She was a woman of obedience, a woman of great faith, a woman where the favor of God rested upon her. And she had the privilege and honor of being part of the story of redemption. And this is what Mary said about the whole thing herself. which really sums it all up. Luke 1:46 says this, "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary, just like me, just like you, needed a Savior. Jesus was her Savior. And her life, everything she did, magnified and glorified the Lord. She was a woman of obedience, a woman called by God. She is called a saint of old, and we're called a saint of new. We are the new saints. We are the royal priesthood, and we join with Mary in our worship and adoration of God. So allow us to look at what Mary might say about God moments. Number one, God moments often seem impossible. When God comes and gives you a word, gives you an instruction, it can seem impossible. Luke 1:31 says, "The angel said to Mary, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Then verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And isn't this really typical of us? You hear something from God, you get an instruction from God, and the first thing you try and do is work it out. How will this be? Come on, God, we all know that 2 and 2 equals 4. You can't get over that. And all you're giving me is one side, you're not giving me the other side. And somehow through experience and through the word of the Lord and walking with him for a period of time, we realize that he comes to the conclusions using different methodologies. He's a different way of adding up. He really does. He's got a heavenly, miraculous way of adding up his figures and bringing us to his conclusion, filling out his plan. But for us, because we're logical beings, because we think in Greek ways, I always think A plus B before I go to C, but sometimes God just lands you at point Z. And he works it out with us and works it out for us. And, you know, between 2001 and 2002, for our church, Open Arms, we had many God encounters. And we knew that he wanted to establish a life-giving church here in Newbridge. We started in 2000, and we ended up in a 40 by 20 little room with a set of drums, some of you know the story, in an office, and we did sound control by opening and closing the office door. It was a really good idea. It worked well. The door was often closed, right? But eventually we came to a place where they were charging too much, and we came across this building. And the building then was valued at, asking price was €520,000. It was £410,000, as we knew, in the old days when we had no mobiles. Sean used to ask me when he grew up as a teenager, "What was it like in the olden days, Dad?" And you look and say, "I'll kill you." No, you right? So in the olden days, that's what it was like. But it was impossible because we had no money. It was absolutely impossible. I'm going to come back to that. You're going to hold that thought right through it. But Mark 10:27, the disciples were talking about a rich man coming to know the Lord, and Jesus said, "It's like putting a camel through the eye of a needle." And they said, well, what? This is impossible then. What's going on? This, how can this be? Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." So as we begin this morning, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what's happening in your life, all things are possible with God. Right? You got to know that. Because 2 and 2 equals 4, but somehow in God's kingdom, he just gets you to 4. However he does it. You might have 1, you might have 3. He provides the miracle. He is the miracle worker. And right now, something I didn't even put in my message, but in worship, let me say this. Jill and Sean got married after several years. She became pregnant. I'd been praying over her. Could you know, the thing is, I knew Jill before my son knew Jill. I was her counselor, and one time when the Teen Challenge girls came to Christmas dinner, I used to do Christmas dinner for them every Christmas, 14, 20 women all together, And I put her sitting at the table, and somehow Sean Booth, my son, made his way beside her playing footsies. And they ended up getting married. And I knew, because God had talked about something about the future, that I would have a son and there would be other sons to follow. See, I knew that through a God moment. All great excitement. And several months into Jill's pregnancy, she began to get sick. And one night she called, one evening, afternoon, it was a busy time. She called and she said, "I think I'm losing my baby." Put her into the car. I drove on the N7. I didn't care about speed bumps. I went about 100 miles an hour with my flashers on. We got to the hospital. Jill lost her baby. And there's people here this morning, and you've lost babies and relationships, and you've lost stuff that tore your heart out. But this is what I know. Jill went through a really tough time. Within a very short period of time, she got pregnant again. And she said, "I believe God has a baby. I believe I will carry the baby. I believe I can trust God." And she had her little boy called Levi. He's now 3 years of age. But within a couple of weeks, Levi got really, really sick. And he ended up going to Crumlin Hospital, and he had a lot of lung and breathing problems. And we had to be with him 24-7 because the nurse couldn't be with him 24-7. And I took a few nights, and Elizabeth took a few nights, and we stayed up all night, and you would stay with him, and the monitor would go off. You'd have to turn him because he would stop breathing. And I remember laying hands, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, this is our promise. We're going to trust you, God. We're going to trust you, God. We're going to trust that you will bring him through. We're going to trust that you're the God of heaven and earth, that you're the God of promise." Because we had a God encounter, a God moment, and we believe we can trust you. And yesterday or Friday, he was running around the church. And now we have another little fella called Liam, and he's running around after him. Because God is good. All things are possible with God. Can you get that this morning? So your circumstances, your story, all things are possible. Keep trusting him. Don't take your eyes off him. Keep trusting him all the way through. Number two, when God moments come, say yes. Say yes, Lord. Even though I don't know how you're going to do it, even though I don't know how you're going to work it out, even though I don't know what the conclusion, I want to say yes. Luke 1:38, this is Mary. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left. And our problem is we're reading this scripture, 2017, on the platform, Newbridge County Kildare, and they can sound like nice little words. But this was Mary, who was perhaps 13 or 14 years of age. Imagine she goes to her parents and she says, "An angel appeared to me and I'm pregnant." The first question is, "Are you sleeping with that guy, Joseph?" And then she goes to Joseph and she says, "An angel appeared to me and I'm pregnant." And his first question is, "Who are you sleeping with, Mary?" And then the religious find out. Oh, those lovely people who are out just to bless you. And they find out she's pregnant, and they said, "Bring her out so we can stone her to death." But Mary said, "Oh, I'm the Lord's servant. Be it done unto me according to your word. Be it done to me. Lord, yes, come on, bring it on. Yes, Lord, though I might lose my family, my fiance, I might lose my very life, but the answer is yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." That's what she's saying. And again, she's saying, because I believe she knew the word of God. See, she would have known about Jeremiah 29:11. And again, the New Living Translation says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." The Amplified says, "For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, Mary. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in the final outcome." That's a word for each of us this morning. In the final outcome, God is with us. There are times we don't see God from A to B. There are times midnight is drawing, but at 11:59, God comes and intervenes. She also knew about Daniel and the story in the book of Daniel. She would have known about the three guys who were taken captive from Israel and brought before the great king Nebuchadnezzar to serve there. Meshach, Yershach, and Abednego, I think the three of them were called. She knew that Nebuchadnezzar had built this big image of gold, and he says everybody must bow down and worship it. But the three guys who served the one and only true God of heaven and earth, they said, hey, we don't bow down to anything. We serve the living God. We are not going to bow down to this. And the king had him brought and said, right, guys, here's the story. You either bow down and worship this, or you're going into the furnace and you will die. We take the story up in Daniel 3:16. If you've never read the book of Daniel and you like a great movie, this is one of the best movies you can go to. It'll be a movie in your head. A movie of passion. A movie of action. A movie of intervention. When you go home, pick out the book of Daniel. It's fascinating. It'll draw you in. It'll suck you in. And you'll see the hand of God all over it. So 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. He called his strong men. They got the three of them, they bound them in ropes. And the story says that even as these strong men began to throw him into the furnace was so hot that it actually killed those guys who threw him in. And the king thought that was the end of it. But he looked into the furnace, and as he looked in, he says, was there not three men that we threw in? They said, yes, O king, there was three. But now there's four. And the fourth was the Son of Man. The fourth, we believe, is the pre-incarnate Christ. And as he looked in there, he could see the four, and they weren't burnt. They weren't singed. There was nothing. The only thing that was burnt was the ropes that held him captive. Now, there's a whole preaching that, folks. There's a whole story in that. But the king called them out, and somehow the king knew that they've served the true living God. God had rescued him, and they got very important positions. But Mary knew the story. Mary knew the story. And I would imagine Mary saying, God, I believe you're going to bring me through. I believe you're going to keep me and sustain me. I believe your plans are good. But even if my family reject me, even if Joseph rejects me, and even if I'm killed and stoned to death by the religious, my answer is yes, Lord. Imagine us having that response. That's what God called us to. But we can only answer when we know that we are loved, that we are called, that we are cherished, that he's got a plan and a purpose for us. He is for us this morning. Can you hear me? He is on your side. And anything that tells you the opposite is a lie from the pit of hell. God loves us. We are his children. He is for us, regardless of circumstances, regardless when the math doesn't add up, regardless when we don't know what the conclusion is, we know that God knows. Number three, your God moment will open the door for God's best in your life. Mary got out of Nazareth, went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. As she entered the house, Elizabeth proclaimed these words in her life. Luke 1:39. It says, at that moment, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of the greeting reached my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who's believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. I can imagine Mary See, Mary knew she had heard from God, but now her cousin confirmed the word to her. And oftentimes we have heard, we've had a God moment. We can have had a prophetic word into our life. We can have something of scripture that optimally pops up. But when a friend, when someone who loves you and is for you and on your side confirms that, it is well with your soul. So I want to encourage you this morning. As part of our church, we've got a prayer team. We've got a leadership team. We run a counseling center. We have people who want to stand with you and love you and encourage you and remind you of the word of the Lord in your life. That you know what I know, what I know. But when someone confirms it, it's all the better. That's why we've got connect groups. Get into a small group who will love you and encourage you and get to know each other's story. The outworking of this was in Mary's life 30 years later. There was a wedding. We call it the wedding of Cana, where a poor couple were gathered for marriage and they ran out of wine. Imagine, the wine ran dry. There wasn't a drop of Guinness in the house to be seen. And that would have been a great embarrassment. Mary asked Jesus to intervene. She calls his servants, and really this is her instruction. John 2:5, in the New King James Version says, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says you do, do it. She knew Jesus was God. She knew Jesus was the miracle worker, even though this was his first public miracle. But I wonder, do you ever wonder as a little boy? I wonder sometimes, Levi, my grandson, he's three. And he comes to my sitting room, and we've got boxes of Lego and boxes of toys. And you say, tidy up, and after persuasion, manipulation and coercion, Right, after all of that, we get together and you pick it up. But I do wonder sometimes, did it ever happen when Jesus had to tidy up and 2 seconds later was tidy? You wonder. I often wonder as he went through teenage years, did things go on that, you know, that Mary knew? Mary glimpsed. I wonder, was she ever send him to the store? Send him for apples or whatever else? And he says, Mom, there's some in the house. He said, no, I've searched high and low. They're not there. They're in the top shelf, left-hand side, in the back corner. I wonder. But no matter what we wonder or don't wonder, she knew. And she said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Just do it. Because she knew. So back to the story of the building. We had a dilemma, 2001, 2002. We wanted the building. And in fact, this building that we're looking for, was someone next door was buying it. They'd already given a deposit. We hadn't got a penny. And me, in my confidence, said, we'll give you an extra 10 grand if you shoo them away that we can have this. And here's how oftentimes miracles work. Miracles work by us taking the first step. So what was the first step? I met the owner and I said, what is the smallest deposit on the building that you will take? Of course, you started with 52 grand or whatever it was. And then we came down to an agreement of 20,000. And I said, that's great. And not a penny in my pocket. But we knew as a leadership team that was the way to go. So we contacted a friend and he gave us 20,000 for the deposit. Now he gave us a loan. But a year later, he said, I don't want it back. Another part of the jigsaw. But we didn't know that at the time. So the first step was get 20 grand, put it at a deposit. The next thing is we had to start the work, right? Conversion, because that was a massive big shed. There was nothing in there. So I met with the owner, and I persuaded him to give us back 15,000 of the deposit to start the work. And he did. He did. But this is what happened, guys. We made contacts and we got teams in. I got one team in, there's 17 people from one of the southern states. And they put up all the framework, the plasterwork, downstairs, upstairs. Our team supplied money. Our team put them up in their homes. Our team fed them, looked after them. And over a period of time, somehow, the miracle began to unfold. We hadn't got money to pay the mortgage. But somehow, the first payment was due. We had just enough to pay the first mortgage. And in 15 years, we have never missed a mortgage payment. Never missed. But it was like one step, two steps, three steps. And one of the things I keep, this friend of ours who sent us the original 20 grand, he began to really get interested. But he said, what is this for? His name is Joe. And I said, Joe, this is for my people. This is for my people. This is for my land. This is for my nation. This is for every man, woman, and child in Newbridge, Kildare, in Leinster, in this nation, that they would know that they are loved, that they would know. You know what that guy did? He opened a bank account. The first check he sent me was 28 grand. The next one, 20, 10, 20, 10, 5, 1, 2. And other people got on board. And business people in our church got on board. And people put in 10 euro when they couldn't afford 10 euro. The widows might. People began that because this is not about a building. I couldn't care. I couldn't care about a building. I don't care about stuff. This is about reaching every man and woman in our community with the great, fantastic, wonderful news that Jesus is the Savior of the world. This is about the good news, guys. God provided. God provided. Whew. I've just written in my notes. Miracles happen when our willingness to trust God intersects with His plan. When we intersect with His plan, miracles happen. Folks, wherever you're at, whether it's relationally, whether it's with your family, your children, whether it's with job, career, finance, whatever it is, have that God moment. Have that encounter with God and keep believing and take the first step. Don't try and figure it all out. It will actually ruin you if you do. It's a case of I surrender my will. Sometimes I'm very nosy. I want to know how to work it out. Or I surrender my logic. I surrender my heart and I take the first step. And it's in the taking of the step that God provides the next step. You know, over the years, when I look back, God has provided many millions over 17 years for us to build a life-giving church. And not just for Newbridge, but it's way beyond. And you know, Sean went to Dublin to broaden his experience. My son, just in case you don't know, he's going to be 30, married to Gillian. He's got two lovely little boys. And he worked in part of the church as executive here. And we realized that his experience was restricted somewhat. I mean, his dad, his pastor, his mentor, all of that stuff. And we talked about him expanding that, getting more experience. So he went to a church in Dublin where he's got great experience. But he's come back to us in January of next year. And then in March, yeah, is that good? And he's far brighter, far smarter, and better looking than I ever was or ever could be. He is. He is. He's God's man. Not because he's my son, and that's not the purpose. But there's a call of God, and that's... You know, when Sean... We got Sean to do a degree. We got him to do a degree in business management. I said, Sean, get a job, earn some money, and be happy. But for some reason, the call. And I'm not silly to reject a man of God with a call. So he's going to come back in January. And then March, we together are going to plant a church in Dundrum, our church. That's what we're going to do. And then we're going to get ready after that and put teams together. We're going to plant a church in Carlow. That's what we're going to do. Now, is that impossible? Totally. Totally. We can't do this. We're not up for this. He is. But what we're going to do, we're going to take the first step. That's what we're going to do. So we're part of something. We're part of a miracle that God is working out in our time. That's who we are and what we are. Imagine Mary, in her final words, was to leave us with some encouragement. The question would be, okay, Mary, how do we continue developing these moments with God? How can we keep having them? How can we keep getting the best out of them? Number one, she would say, stay connected with God. Stay connected. Luke 2:16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Right? When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds were excited. The wise men were excited. They were all excited. But in the middle of all this, Mary was pondering these things in her heart. It's part of worship. It's part of being still and know that I am God. It's part, and I believe it's certainly a word for you, but it's a word for me as well, okay? Usually what he does, he gives me first, all right? That's what happens. To slow down. To stop and ponder. Ponder what he has done in the past. Ponder about his greatness and his glory. Ponder about what he has called us to do and the miracles that he's working in our hearts. So begin to slow. Begin to calm. Catch your breath. You know, when I come down last night, I usually try and come down for a few hours before Sunday if I can. And I don't know about you, but my head always goes. I've got lists of stuff in my head. I write down lists of stuff. I just keep thinking. But I usually, last night I sat in the chair over there and I fell asleep for about 10 minutes. It was great. Honestly, peace, quietness. I would walk around, pray around, lay hands on the chairs, whatever. But my purpose is not for that. My purpose is somehow to listen. We're part of a whole Pentecostal movement. We're brutal at listening, aren't we? When we stop talking, you start up in tongues. And God says, will you be quiet? I want to speak to you. Shh. Hush. Hush. So be quiet. Allow him to speak into our hearts. Give him time to speak. Give him time. He does speak. And for us to listen. Number two, stay connected to your purpose. Luke 2:34 says, then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul. Mary gave birth to a child of destiny. Let me say this. Every mother gives birth to a child of destiny. Are you a child? Are you living and breathing? You too are a child of destiny. God has put destiny in our life. We said the greatest day, what it was, the greatest day in a person's life is the day he was born, and the second is when you discover why you were born. You discover your purpose. You discover your destiny. That is the day. Keep an eye on our destiny. Keep an eye on our purpose. We're doing Growth Track after this, 2 o'clock upstairs. I'm doing it on my first Sunday on. Growth Track, we want to tell you about the church and how we established. And then we're going to tell you about the steps of faith. And then we're going to look at, what are we going to look at? We're going to look at you. We're going to look at the gifts, the natural and the spiritual gifts that God gave you. We're going to look at why God put you on the face of the earth and how he's fitted you into the body of Christ. And then we're going to release you to serve in our dream team. We want you to reach your purpose and your destiny. We want you to discover your destiny. Sign up for Growth Track. Seriously, sign up for Growth Track. Just follow me after 2 o'clock upstairs. We'll give you a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, and get you to seek and to see your destiny and what God has put into you. Each of us have been destined. Each of us have purpose. And we need to find that purpose. That's what we do. That's why we're set up as a church, part of what we do. Number three, stay connected to people who encourage you. Luke 1:56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Connect groups. Why do we have connect groups? We want you to be connected with a group of people that you can do life with. I mean, I love the crowd. I love the gathering. I love all of that worship. But we do life in a small group. We do life. When I came to know the Lord, for many years I went to, that's where I learned how to pray, how to tithe. I learned a lot of stuff, how to open my Bible. I didn't know where John's Gospel was. I didn't know where I had tags in the Bible. In the first time in my life, Elizabeth Booth heard me sing, and I don't say except to worship, was in a connect group. Connect group is where we do life together. Connect group is having people around who will speak the word of the Lord, and you will speak the word of the Lord into there. Connect group is where people that you can trust or have your back when you're going through whatever challenges, they're praying for you, they're on your side, and they'll check in, how are you doing? Get involved in the connect group. Sign up. Do all the summer stuff, but make sure by the 10th of September you are signed up. Number four, stay connected to the bigger picture. John 19:25 in the Message. Jesus' mother, his aunt, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene stood at the foot of the cross. Jesus saw his mother and the disciples he loved standing near her. He said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that moment, the disciple accepted her as his own mother. In a sense, this was the end of Mary's mission. She had completed her job. She had completed, from 13 or 14, she had completed her job. Jesus was saying, "I have to go. Now I'm going to go, and I'm going to become the sin for all of mankind. I'm going to take separation and guilt and shame upon myself. I'm going to go down to hell and kick open the gates to release the prisoners. I'm going to bind up the strong man, and then I'm going to overcome death itself and raise from the dead. But then I will go to my heavenly Father, and I will sit in the right hand of my Father, and I will pray on your behalf. I will make intercession on your behalf. I'll be up there bragging about you. I'll be calling down blessing and favor on you. So I must go." So now take John, because it was John the disciple who loved. Take John as your son. John, take Mary as your mother. My job is complete. My task is over. Mary, I release you. It was the end of his mission to overcome sin and to overcome death. So what is our big picture? When we consider, what is it all about? Why are we here? And again, for me, I really have to realize, back to basics again. But basics for me is not something basic, it's something foundational. And there is a difference. It is foundational. So here's my life scripture. Here's the life scripture of open arms. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to me and you and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, including Newbridge and Kildare, that right? And Dublin and Carlow and Naas and all the surrounding towns, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Open arms exist for those outside. The reason we have been left on the face of the earth is to bring as many people with us back to Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Everything we do is designed about reaching your family, your friends, your colleagues. We don't want your family not knowing Jesus. We don't want your family going to anywhere else other than heaven. We want your family, the people you mix with in Dunn's and Tesco's and down the town and in the marketplace, the ones that you do life with, we want them to know Jesus. We want to make sure that when we get to heaven's gates, they will be there. Come on. That's what we're about. That's why we exist. That's why we do what we do. So as we finish this morning, you may be here, and all that sounds good and dandy, but unless you have Christ in your heart, a lot of this stuff goes, whoosh, it really does. And 27 years ago, for me, I had my God moment. I had a God encounter. For 33 years, no one told me that God loved me, PJ. No one told me that. No one told me that I could have a relationship with God. No one told me that. I always thought of God far off, who knew me from a distance And the only time he really, really knew me is when I stepped out of line. And it was his job then to batter me back into place. That was my concept. It really was. That was my distorted concept. But in 1991, 27th of September, 12 noon, Air Square, Galway, I know where I crossed the line. I walked into an office filled with guilt, filled with shame, weighed down, thinking I wanted to throw a switch and end my life there and then. And I had run an engineering company. I was logical. I have all that involved in counseling, all that stuff. But still, here I was. I wanted to flip the switch. And in a moment, I asked Jesus to take my life and to give me his life. It was a royal exchange. And because I come from a religious background, I've said many, many prayers. But the miracle is when I said this prayer, Jesus answered. He took the weight of guilt off my shoulders. He took away my shame. He filled me with his spirit. He filled me with passion, with purpose, with hope.